The Youth Justice Amendment Bill passed Queensland's Parliament a few short weeks ago, despite significant opposition from many sectors of the community. The Wire's Declan Hoare reports.
The Queensland Government says the reform package is aimed at a small cohort of recidivist offenders who cause a disproportionate amount of harm in the community and is backing it with $98.4 million in spending. That funding will be used on a trial of GPS monitoring, expansion of the Joint Police and Youth Justice Co-Responder Strike Teams, enhanced supervision of young people on bail, as well as intensive support for families of children on bail and additional court and legal advocacy services. Greg Shadbolt is a barrister and principal legal officer at the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service. He says ATSILS is seriously concerned about the move to reverse presumption of bail.
It's not something we're happy about because there's a very fundamental principle in the criminal justice arena about the presumption of innocence. And when you start reversing the presumption of bail, that is, the child actually has to demonstrate they should be granted bail rather than the prosecutor demonstrating that they shouldn't. It really does undermine that presumption of innocence.
How does this put pressure on a system that already disproportionately affects Indigenous youth?
It will put tremendous pressure on us, I suspect. And this is something we've been speaking about to government about for a long time now, about the need to address the upstream triggers to offending behaviour, the education, employment, health, housing, these sorts of things. Unless you address those triggers, are you really not going to address the downstream offending behaviour? And the challenge for us is that these sort of changes in terms of reversal of bail and electronic monitoring devices, etc., won't do anything to actually make for safer communities in the sense of actually addressing the causes of offending behaviour. And that's where we're sort of disappointed. We're a great believer in being smart on crime instead of about being softer on crime. And being smart means you want to make for safer communities, and that means addressing the triggers for offending behaviour.
Were any Indigenous leaders consulted on these changes?
We did get somewhat of a feeling that this was a bit of a fait accompli in the sense of whilst there was consultation, there seemed to be very firm push that these were changes that were going to happen. We're apolitical, but it's something we see on all sides of the political spectrum over the years is that governments and politicians really responding to newspaper headlines rather than actually doing what needs to be done to actually address offending behaviour. So, for example, you know, if you read a lot of the headlines these days, you'd think that there was some sort of youth out-of-control crime wave, whereas in fact the statistics will demonstrate that over the last 10 years, youth crime has decreased. It would be good to see politicians leading public opinion rather than simply following headlines and trying to pacify the lowest common denominator when it comes to legislative reform.
Greg Shadbolt, barrister and principal legal officer at the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service. Michael Berkman is the Greens MP for Maiwar. He's been following the reform process closely and says the new legislation does not reflect the advice or advocacy of key First Nations organisations.
Their view is that these are laws that will disproportionately affect young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. A number of organisations and peak organisations agreed quite explicitly that this legislation is unnecessarily and unjustifiably punitive and it's racist and that it won't stop youth offending.
With that in mind, do you think that the Royal Commission into Indigenous Deaths in Custody needs to be a part of this conversation and the recommendations that that made?
Yeah, it absolutely should be. I mean, it is shocking that 30 years later, we're still left with a situation where all of the recommendations of that Royal Commission haven't been implemented, and clearly the issues haven't been addressed. They're ignoring those experts and continually pandering to this culture of fear and the tough-on-crime rhetoric and rubbish that we keep hearing from the LNP in particular and from conservative media commentators.
We've been seeing pushes to raise the minimum age of criminal responsibility. Do you think that that rhetoric around being tough on crime is the biggest contributing factor to the governments across the north of Australia pushing to increase youth incarceration?
It seems like it, but I've been very vocal with my view that raising the age of criminal responsibility is an essential part of any sensible government response. You know, it just doesn't make sense for us to be locking up kids as young as 10. Changes to bail laws don't mean anything to kids at that age. So it's ridiculous to think that those sorts of steps are actually going to prevent reoffending. There's decades of evidence that shows us that incarceration of kids and seeing kids in court and in detention increases the rates of reoffending.
With that in mind, where can this money that the government is funding into cracking down on youth incarceration be funneled to instead, to support communities and to keep kids out of prison?
the kids who are going to be most affected by this kind of legislation and the kids who are overwhelmingly dealt with by the youth justice system are some of the most disadvantaged in the entire country and particularly in the state of Queensland. Meeting those most basic needs has to be a priority. And so there's broad social approaches that we need to take to that. Really specifically, we need better funding for those community services and for the groups that are providing early interventions for kids. Bail support organisations and early intervention programs. Kids, more often than not, don't get support. They don't get referrals and support to those services until they show up at the police station for their fifth and sixth time.
Michael Berkman, Greens MP for Maywa, speaking with The Wire's Declan Hoare.